Welcome back. Some of the first things we teach children are in verse, from the ABCs to nursery rhymes and lullabies. On today's show, we'll review new selections of children's poetry and explore the world of spoken word. Joining me now in studio is Kwame Alexander. He is the author of The Undefeated. Kwame, thank you for joining us. Good to see you again.
Good to see you, Kojo.
Also in studio with us is Eloise Greenfield. She's the author of Thinker, My Puppy Poet and Me. Eloise Greenfield was one of the people who mentored me when I first came to Washington, D.C. I was at Drum and Spear Bookstore and Press, and we published her children's book, Bubbles, and she introduced me to a community of African-American women children's book writers in this city that I will never forget. So thank you for that, and thank you for continuing to do what you do.
Thank you, Kojo. It's wonderful to see you again.
Great to see you, too. And also in studio is Ayinde Sekou. He is a hip-hop and spoken word artist. Ayinde, good to see you.
Good to see you, Kojo. Thanks for having me.
Kwame, you are a prolific children's book writer with at least 29 books to your name, published over the last three decades. Your most recent title, The Undefeated, has been more than 10 years in the making. What was the inspiration behind it?
I wanted to write a poem for my daughter to introduce her to this notion that Black people have not only strived, but we've thrived. Obama was elected in 08. My daughter was born in 08. And I wanted to show her how we got there, how we waded in the water, how we crossed the River Jordan. It didn't happen out of a vacuum. So I wanted to write the history of our people. It's a love letter to America, to Black America.
The Undefeated is a poem that highlights moments of American history that you say have, quoting here, been forgotten. What history are you referring to, and how did you decide which moments and historical figures to feature?
You know, it's really interesting. I did not sort of name names in the book. The illustrator is Kadir Nelson. And so I wrote this, you know, this poem about the unsung heroes, those that we know, those that we don't know. My great-great-grandfather who fought in the Civil War. LeBron James, who started a school in Akron, Ohio, and called I Promise. Like how we sort of bridge that gap. I wanted to write about all those people, but Kadir, he decided who the faces would be in this book, who he would shine, you know, his light on. And I think he did a brilliant job.
I was about to say your collaboration with Kadir Nelson is definitely beautiful, beautiful portraits of Black icons and everyday folks. How do you think his work matched your words?
I think I tried to tell a story of how we got here, of how we came to America, and how we made it to this point where my daughter, by default, like the only president she knew, like for 4 years of her life, was a Black man. Like how we got there. And I wanted to tell that story. I think Kadir told a whole nother story. I think he told, like a genius illustrator, Kojo, will not only illustrate what's in the text, but she or he will illustrate a whole nother narrative. And I think Kadir did that. When you look at these paintings on this page, he's got this thing he does where at the bottom of the illustration, the legs or the bottom of the painting is in darkness. Mm-hmm. And as you rise through the artwork, you see the light. And he's showing, like, he has this magical way of showing the pain and the progress, the tragedy and the triumph, which I think is just, you know, it's a beautiful truth.
Kwame, there's this idea that children's books need to be, well, simple, with basic language so kids can follow along. But your book is lyrical, with big words like righteous and audacious. Why was it important for you to not compromise on language simply because The Undefeated appears to be for kids?
We don't want to talk down to our children. Mm. My dad made me read the dictionary and the encyclopedia as an 8-year-old. At 11 years old, I had to read Pedagogy of the Oppressed by Paulo Freire and Wretched of the Earth by Frantz Fanon. Like, I think if we want our kids to be able to imagine a world, a better world, we got to give them the tools to be able to do that. Where do you find those tools? I think you find them between the pages of a book. So let's arm them. Let's arm them with intelligent entertainment. And I think it starts with words. Words have the power to transform our lives, to make children better human beings.
You tell your dad, it's an interesting story, the dictionary, but why do they stop to explain every word as you go? Eloise, you are also a career children's book author with 40 titles to your name. You actually got your start writing children's poetry while you were a federal employee in the U.S. Patent Office. How did that job motivate you to write?
Well, I hate to say it, but it motivated me by boring me to death. I was so bored, and I didn't know what I wanted to do next. And I just started writing because I'd always been a reader. And eventually, after a few years, I settled into the method that you have to use in order to be a writer. Well, not everybody uses the same method, but there is a craft, and a lot of people think that it's just inborn and you don't have to learn anything, but there's both. There's your talent, which is inborn, and then there's a craft that you have to study and learn. Many people learn it by reading other writers. I was always reading, so that wasn't it. I had to read books on the craft of writing, specifically addressed to that purpose. And then when each book told me that there would be rejections, and they were right. I got many, many, many rejections. And through the years, I still sometimes get rejections. But it's all a part of the process. And it's work that I really love. I love to do it. And people sometimes ask me if isn't that fun writing picture books with children? And I say, no, it's work, but it's very satisfying work. So even though sometimes I'm trying to make the book funny, it's not funny work. It's work.
Who were you initially writing your books for? Who was your intended audience?
My intended audience was African-American children. And the civil rights movement was in full swing at that time. This was the early 70s. Well, the early 60s in the beginning. And I wanted to participate in that way that I could do my writing, which would be my primary work, and it would still be a part of the movement. Now, the other part was that I was writing for myself, too. Not the subject matter, but the fact that I wanted to spend the hours of my life doing that. That was for me. And then I wanted to give children something, and not just children, but adults too. Anybody who was interested in reading or who could become interested in reading. So it was partly satisfying work for me, and then a gift that I wanted to make to children.
Your most recent release, Thinker, My Puppy Poet and Me, is told from the perspective of a family dog who feels like the world is telling him to act more like a pet rather than the poet that he really is. Where did the inspiration for this book of poems come from?
This book, in the beginning, it was because I had been reading reviews of free verse that said that free verse was not really poetry. And I wanted to counteract that. And I thought of writing an article, and I didn't think it would get as much exposure. I'd have to find a magazine who would print it and a newspaper that would print it. And then I decided, okay, so I'll write a book about that will include poems, different kinds of poems. My favorite kind of poetry to write is free verse. And sometimes I do also write haiku or some other kind of poetry. But for me, writing free verse gives me the opportunity to use the music that I hear in my head. And words are music. Words have syllables. Our voices go up and down when we talk, even when we're just making a regular conversation. And so I wanted to use the music that I hear. And that's the interesting thing about writing, is that every poet, every writer comes from a different perspective. And everybody brings something else to it. And for me, it was the music of the language and the meaning of the words and what I could do as a gift to children and to adults.
Well, Thinker, My Puppy Poet and Me is allegedly a children's book, but when I read the very first poem in the book, I was hooked. So for the audience, would you do the same for me? Would you read that first poem in the book?
Okay. Let me say right now that I may stumble some. I have lost a lot of my vision, and I'm going to do the best I can. But the first poem is called Naming Me. They brought me from the neighbor's house and put me on the floor. They talked about their love for me, and I thought, more, more, more. I kept my eyes from opening. I kept my voice on mute until I heard somebody say, let's name him something cute. My eyes popped open, and I said, uh-uh, no way, no way. I'm deep, and I'm a poet. No, a cute name's not okay. The boy called Jace said, you're a poet? I'm a poet, too. We'll name you Thinker. Yes, I think that's the name for you. They named me Thinker, and I knew this was the place for me. A place that called me Thinker was the perfect place for me.
And that was it. That was hooked. I had to read the whole book.
I had to read the entire book
after that. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll hear some of Ayinde Sekou's work. He's a hip-hop and spoken word artist. And continue our conversation with Kwame Alexander and Eloise Greenfield. I'm Kojo Namdi.
This month at WAMU, we're lifting our voices to shine a light on Black changemakers throughout American history. Some you know and some you don't, but they all change the world. Go to wamu.org/lifteveryvoice to learn the stories of these incredible African American changemakers and to hear special interviews spotlighting those who have impacted the arts, sciences, sports, and activism. Go to wamu.org/lifteveryvoice.
Welcome back. We're talking with Eloise Greenfield. She is the author of Thinker, My Puppy Poet and Me. Kwame Alexander is the author of The Undefeated. That, of course, just their latest books. They have both published dozens of books, children's books before that point. And also joining us in studio is Ayinde Sekou. He is a hip-hop and spoken word artist. And yes, I do have some history with him, too. His father, Herb Grimes, and I were colleagues at Howard University Television for many years. I got to know his mom, Donna, actually went to their wedding, so I could actually say I knew you before you were born, and I'm so proud to see you here today. For older kids who enjoy communicating verbally, spoken word is a form of poetry that can be incredibly appealing. When were you first introduced to the art form, and why did spoken word appeal to you over other kinds of poetry?
Well, I was first introduced when I was about 15 years old. A friend of mine, Eric Powell, a.k.a. ELPJ, who's the illest MC in the city. He was on a DC Youth Slam team at the time. This was like 2012. And I just went to support him. And I just never been to a environment that was run by youth, where youth are like, this is our space, and this is what the flavor is going to be like. And if you want to be in here, you gotta dip into this type of flavor. So we had to snap, give the artist the energy back. And it was kind of like a conversation. But like I wrote it, but it's like the artists would like write down their feelings, their opinions, right, and then share it with the audience. But it was just different than like when you see like a concert or like even like a reading or anything. It was just dependent on the crowd's reaction, and the crowd's investment in the artist really reflects like the artist's investment, like in themselves. And that's how I got hip. You know what I mean? The spoken word. It was just a beautiful spot. Busboys and Poets, 5th and K. Formerly 5th and K, now 450 and K. Or 450K, whatever.
But yeah. now you lead workshops for local students. What kinds of young people do you work with? What topics are they interested in exploring in spoken word?
Well, I work with brilliant young people. I work with young people that teach me every day. Talk about Paulo Freire. These three assumptions that I take are like everybody can teach, everybody has knowledge to share, and everybody can learn. And so the young people that I'm dealing with, they be from D.C., Ward 8, Ward 7 primarily, with like Sasha Bruce Youth Works, or working with Kelly Miller, or like students in that area. And this type of stories that they want to talk about is consistent with what the message was earlier. Let's keep D.C., D.C.'s cultural integrity intact. And so young people talk about being displaced. Young people also, though, talk about like what it's like to ride the Metro, what it's like to go to their first movie date. They also write about Fortnite, a bunch of video games, can't lie. Shout out to all the athletes and stuff. But yeah, really they're stories that they have, and their stories range infinitely. And so I'm just always learning and learning. That's the beauty of the work.
What resources does DC have for young people interested in spoken word?
Well, primarily I would say Split This Rock is a tremendous resource because that's the camp that I got introduced to spoken word through. And so if you're a young person who has original works of poetry or is enthusiastic about expression in any way, Split This Rock has the DC Youth Slam Team. The DC Youth Slam Team competes in Brave New Voices, which is an international spoken word competition where teams from all over the country get together and just share their truth, express themselves. And it's, like I said, one of those beautiful conversations that you can only get through the spoken word. So Split This Rock. And then so every third Saturday at Busboys and Poets 450K, that's the one around like the convention center gallery place, from 5 to 7, you can come. You're a young person. The mic is livicated to people 20 years and younger. So if you're on the mic and you're 21, we got to ask you to chill. You know what I mean? It's for the youth. Well, you still be the youth. I mean, compared to like the SYP, they still say you till you're 24. But you know how we do.
Can you do one of your poems for us?
I can.
Please do.
Awesome. All right. I am not a minority. Your slur of slick bigotry be too brittle to handle the history I house in my hair. Whoever calls me a minority must not know the ancestors hold the keys to these locks. I grab the mic for Asada, on the run from the devil with the hands of the father holding her revolutionary soul in secrecy like she did. I want to escape the confines of colonial categorization. I love myself so I don't have to rely on other people to do it for me. And my black love's deeper than the skin I'm living in. I've come to erase self-hate because I am not a minority. I am more. I am native. I am Nubian. I am Zulu. I am less than no one. No one who's breathing the same air as me. My melaninated lungs pump breath into the word that became flesh. Colonizers disguised as the world's first travelers decided to study the scrolls scribed into the lineage of my people. My black flashes eternal like a comet, constellations connecting the dots to the sun, lighting my black bloodstream. My skin is brown like the ground that we all come from. So I urge you, Genesis, to get their math right. My black has been here for 5/5 of existence. I am not your minority. I am nobody's minority. And these words illustrate the beauty of liberation. Free feels like walking on new world water and dodging all danger. Whether the danger be red, white, and blue strangers sleeper holding our teens or corporate control over our food, our water, and our identity. Remember, I am not a minority. You are not a minority. And we are nobody's minority. So remember, when anybody comes at you and calls you minor, don't hesitate to let them know. We are nobody's minority. Peace and blessings.
Ayinde Sekou, he is a hip-hop and spoken word artist. Eloise Greenfield, you end your book, Thinker, with a rap. It's got a different rhyme scheme than the rest of the book. Why did you decide to switch up your style right at the end?
Well, since I use free verse, I can do anything I want. So that gives me lots of freedom.
Yes, sir.
The way the book began is that I had been, I think I mentioned, reading a lot of criticism about free verse and statements that it was not real poetry. And rap is often criticized in that same way. So I wanted to use rap because it's good poetry. That's one reason. And that's the first reason it has to go in the book, because it's good. Mm. And then that style of poetry is wonderful. It's rhythmic. It has meaning. It has everything that a poem should have. And so I thought it would be very a climax for the book, and especially for the puppy who loves rhythm and all those things that go with literature. And so that's why I decided to do that. One thing that I didn't mention is that the illustrator is Ehsan Abdallahi, and he is great. He's great. And this book came about because Tiny Owl Publishing in Britain followed me on Twitter. And so I followed them back. I thought that maybe I'll send them a manuscript. So I had this manuscript that had been rejected, and I sent it to them, and they loved it. And they engaged Ehsan Abdallahi to illustrate it. So that's how that came about.
Wow. Michelle from Silver Spring called to say, Eloise Greenfield is the Einstein of children's books. Einstein wrote the theory of relativity while working in the patent office. And a tweet from Mark says, Kwame, I got chills listening to you talk about the significance of the stories in your book. You not only write with passion and prowess, your voice shares the power of what's on the page. How do you feel that power?
How do you feel that power? Mm. Wow.
Because you've got to, as Eloise said, you've got to engage in the craft of writing. You've got to work at it. It ultimately brings pleasure, but it's a lot of work.
Right.
But I agree with the writer. There's a certain power that emerges from your writing that is clearly emotional.
I guess, first of all, thank you. That's a great compliment. I come out of a tradition of listening to poets, reading poets, like Langston Hughes, studying with poets like Nikki Giovanni, growing up on the books of poets like Eloise Greenfield. When my mother told me at age 3 we were having another kid in the house, I was going to have a sister, I was like, uh-uh. And what did my mom do? She gave me a copy of She Come Bringing Me That Baby Girl by Eloise Greenfield. Like, how do we learn how to move through this world? I posit that it's through books. So let me just interject real quick and say, Kojo, in addition to writing, I also run an imprint now called Versify. So I'm publishing other authors. And if Eloise Greenfield ever submits a book, it's no question in my mind that we will accept it. There will be no rejections. I guess I just, to answer that question more succinctly, I take the power from those who came before me in that tradition. And I try to capture and I try to put it down on paper the best that I can. So I'm honored by that question because I appreciate the compliment.
Ayinde, who were some of your favorite poets and writers when you were a child? And is there...
Well, I would say James Baldwin's one of my favorite writers now that I'm like a young man. But growing up, listening to music, I would say KRS-One. Just how succinct he is lyrically. And then Walter Dean Myers. When I was like 5th grade, 6th grade, 7th grade, Walter Dean Myers had some dope books. Poetic influences, though, come from local cats, Pages Matam, Amin Drew Law, Elizabeth Acevedo, some of my poet mentors. What I would say is the power. I would just want to echo what was at the top of the hour, what Kwame was talking about, just like the power of words, and like putting your story out there and taking that leap of faith. That's what kind of like spoken word allows you to do, is just to like, just take that leap of faith. Yo, this is your story, this is your experience, and this is your truth. and don't hide from the feelings that go into it. Hip-hop music helped, and my love for that helped me break down the walls of, you know, shyness and, oh, I want to be cool, but I don't want to say all that social anxiety stuff. Big ups to the Guru, big ups to KRS-One, big up to MC Light, and all the real MCs that influenced me.
And I'm afraid that's all the time we have. Ayinde Sekou is a hip-hop and spoken word artist. Thank you so much for joining us. Good luck to you.
I'm blessed and humbled. Thank you for having me.
Kwame Alexander is the author of The Undefeated. Kwame, always a pleasure.
Same here, Kojo.
Eloise Greenfield is the author of Thinker, My Puppy, Poet, and Me. Eloise, as always, it was an honor speaking
Thank
with you.
Thank you. For me, too.
Find the list of spoken word open mics on today's show page at kojoshow.org. There you can also watch videos of Ayinde Sekou's favorite spoken word performances from other Washingtonians. Today's show on children's poetry and spoken word was produced by Ruth Tam. Our conversation on the debate over Metro PC's go-go music was produced by Julie Deppenbrock. Coming up tomorrow on the Politics Hour, we review the end of Maryland's legislative session and analyze what the results mean for Montgomery County residents with County Executive Mark Elrich. Plus, we sit down with Virginia Delegate Carrie Delaney to hear about what she learned as a freshman lawmaker during a tumultuous time for Virginia politics. That all starts tomorrow at noon. Until then, thank you for listening. I'm Kojo Nnamdi.
The Kojo Nnamdi Show is produced by Ruth Tam, Mark Gunnery, Julie Deppenbrock, and Margaret Barthel. Our managing producer is Angelisa Schrobstorff, and our senior producer is Mana Kashvi. Our intern is Sydney Grannon, and our engineer is Josephine Neonai. For past shows and more content, visit kojoshow.org.
Thanks for listening to the Kojo Nnamdi Show, and if you're already a member of WAMU 88.5, thank you for your support. If not, it's easy to give online at wamu.org. Just click the donate button, and thanks.